Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are in the room and for those that will be listening over the recording and on other devices. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful November 5th, 2022. This is our lesson, part two review of chapter 75, entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, our part 5 of our lesson 368. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And our Tiny Tot theme song is a hymn entitled Jesus Loves Me, number 190 in the hymn book. And our dear brother will continue to bless us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. On the cross you died for me, I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. If any one of the little tiny tots, by the help of parents or elder siblings, would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. This is what I'm about to learn. Here's what the Sabbath are about to do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That means my mom and
in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our tiny thoughts are growing up. This is the time that we can be able to hear all the blessing that our little tiny ones has been for mommies and daddies and the rest of the family. If you would like to share your testimony, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. On the mother's helper, mommy's and daddy's little blessings, I'd like to highlight on Haley. Haley has been, it's been a little bit of a tough transition to the first grade from kindergarten. The content has been so much harder, especially in the charter schools. And day by day, we've been working and it seems a little bit frustrating as we are pushing and pulling and going. But praise God that she's still trying her very best. And is becoming a better reader day by day by practicing more and more in her math as well. So just wanted to let Haley know that we see her growth in those areas and we continue for her to be able to go forward. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's a great moment that I can share this to you all. And the privilege and the advantage that we have the internet for all of us worldwide. I was privileged to share online several lessons, and that I've come into contact with very many people, and I was overwhelmed by my brother from Mexico, Little Mexico, whom I've been sharing with. And it so happened that he sent me a contact from South Sudan, which is my neighbor country. And he was wondering, because it is the brother from South Sudan who contacted me and asked me about somebody from Mexico. And he said, "Do you know this person?" I said, "Yes." Always share with him. Yes, he has said, "I contact you." And he's also online. Can you contact him? So when I contacted all of them online, each introduced themselves to me, and I said, "Yes, online we've been sharing the present truth." And then he said, "Yes, I now live in Juba, that is a capital of Southern Sudan, and I would love to learn a lot of things, a lot of materials from the present truth." So that brother called Erwin has directed you to me. And then he said, "Can we make arrangements and we meet?" And more so, "I want to learn the process of 25/20. I said, "Wow, can we meet?" I asked him, "Have you at one time been in Kampala?" He said, "Yes, I've been in Kampala, your capital." And I said, "I can also come to your capital, Juba, wait, so that we can share." Then he tried to show me a big church where he was also having a choir, church choir, which he said is conducting in South Sudan, Juba. And you know, Sudan has been a Muslim country with a few Christians. And when they divided it, the southern part was the one with some Christianity, and they now want to learn. So he said, "We've been established on SDA doctrine, but I want now, according to the messages I've received, to leave the SDA church, to come out." Then I said, "Wow, this is great." I started now sending him messages for the church. Then he promised, "Let's make arrangements and we meet so that we completely withdraw from the SDA church." I said, "Praise God." So the internet has been overwhelming to connect us, give us many contacts of which we share the word, the present truth. Then I'm also glad to tell you that Brother James of Australia sent some booklets. It has been hard for me to pick them, but he sent 9 booklets, and that has taken about 2 months. And on Friday, I picked them and I sent him the message that I picked them, and now I want to send them to DRC Congo to Brother Victor, who is also eager to learn more about the present truth. So I'm overwhelmed and I'm happy, and I'm praising God that He has opened up ways for us to do the work, even if when things are tough. More so in Uganda, there is a lockdown for Ebola. You are only allowed to stay in your home and you don't get into contact with other homes. So that is very funny with the lockdowns, and the internet will provide the ways for us to accomplish the work. Praise God. That's what I can share as a testimony which has come through in my life. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord indeed, dear Brother Joel. We will continue to pray, and may the Lord make the present truth goes to the heart of those, especially those that were Muslim, that they can continue spreading the message. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful testimony, dear brother. We will keep you in prayer by God's grace. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to do our review for the toddler's little lesson, the story of Jesus, chapter 9 from early ministry, part 5. And our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
Good morning again. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John 2 and Luke 4. I'm not turning my camera on right now because I am frustrated with the fact that it just shuts off on its own every little bit, and so I leave it off. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested or showed forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them. Passing through the midst of them went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Next slide, please. I can't change slides from here. It'll have to be done from New York. Has my screen frozen?
We have the other slide already, dear brother. Maybe it's your screen, but I will keep it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It won't show up down here. But there's no way I can refresh this screen. There's no refresh button on it, so I don't know what to do here.
Dear brother, would you like someone to read it meanwhile? Do you get the computer to move?
Okay. That'd be good.
Okay.
Thank you.
If anyone of the dear brethren would like to be able to read the lesson, meanwhile, we will get back our dear brother online. May you unmute your mic?
Yes, I'll go ahead and I'll read it. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Chapter 9, Early Ministry, Part 5. Then they remembered how Jesus had lived among them as a carpenter. Often they had seen him working in the shop with Joseph, though in his whole life there had been only deeds of love and mercy. They would not believe that he was the Messiah. By such thoughts as these, they opened the way for Satan to control their minds. Then they were filled with wrath against the Savior. Now, sorry if you hear noise. I'm outside enjoying the weather, so sorry if you hear traffic and stuff. Then they were filled with wrath against the Savior. They cried out against him and determined to take his life. They hurried him away, meaning to throw him over the steep side of a hill. But holy angels were near to protect him. He passed safely through the crowd and was not to be found. Next slide, please. I'll bubble down just. Okay. Amen. And I'll bubble down so that someone else can read just in case, our dear brother has not, fully recovered his screen.
The next
I got the new computer out here. Now, why is the echo? Can you hear an echo on your end?
Yes, my brother, we're hearing an echo. You just have to turn the volume on.
Let me see if that cuts it out. The next time he came to Nazareth, the people were no more ready to receive him. I don't like this. Maybe it'll quit.
Brother Dick, you just have to turn the volume down on the other one and mute it.
I shut the whole thing down.
Okay, there you go.
I just closed the lid. The next time he came to Nazareth, the people were no more ready to receive him. He went away, never to return. That's sad. Christ worked for those who wanted his help, and all through the country the people flocked about him. As he healed and taught them, There was great rejoicing. Heaven seemed to come down to the earth, and they feasted upon the grace of a merciful Savior.
Amen. Thank you so much for allowing our dear brother to be able to come back. And next Sabbath, we will begin with a new chapter, chapter 10 of our lesson entitled The Teaching of Christ. In our Tiny Talk lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place November 12, 2022. And now we will go back and give it to our dear brother to read the review section of our story.
All right. Chapter 15 at the marriage feast. The attention of the company was now turned to the disciples. For the first time, they had the opportunity of acknowledging their faith in Jesus. They told what they had seen and heard at the Jordan. There was kindled, or started in the hearts of many, the hope that God had risen up a deliverer for his people. The news of the miracle spread through all that region and was carried to Jerusalem. With new interest, the priests and elders searched the prophecies pointing to Christ's coming. There was eager desire to learn the mission of this new teacher who appeared among the people in so unassuming a manner. The ministry of Christ was in marked contrast to that of the Jewish elders. Their regard for tradition and formalism had destroyed all real freedom of thought and action. They lived in continual dread of defilement to avoid contact with the unclean. They kept aloof or away from, not only from the Gentiles, but from the majority of their own people. Seeking neither to benefit them nor to win their friendship. Very unlike Jesus. By dwelling constantly on these matters, they had dwarfed their minds or made them smaller and narrowed the orbit of their lives. In other words, they didn't get around very much. Their example encouraged egotism, selfishness, and intolerance among all classes of people. Next slide. Jesus began the work of reformation by coming into close sympathy with humanity. While he showed the greatest reverence for the law of God, he rebuked the pretentious or pretended piety, religiosity, the religion of the Pharisees, and tried to free the people from the senseless rules that bound them. He was seeking to break down the barriers which separated the different classes of society, that he might bring men together as children of one family. His attendance at the marriage feast was designed to be a step toward effecting this. Jesus saw in every soul one to whom must be given the call to his kingdom. He reached the hearts of the people by going among them as one who desired their good. He sought them in the public streets. He looked for them in the public streets, in private homes, on the boats, in the synagogue or church, by the shores of the lake, and at the marriage feast. He met them at their daily vocations or work, manifested or showed an interest in their secular affairs. That's their things they did during the week. He carried his instruction into the household, bringing families in their own homes under the influence of his divine presence. His strong personal sympathy helped to win hearts. He often repaired to the mountains for solitary prayer or to pray by himself. But this was a preparation for his labor among men in active labor. From these seasons, he came forth to relieve the sick, to instruct the ignorant, and to break the chains from the captives of Satan. That's from Desire of Ages, page 151, 50 and 51. Is that it? Review questions. How many miracles did Jesus perform up to this time? Up to the time of the feast at Cana?
He had not performed any until this time.
The Bible has no record of Jesus as a boy performing miracles. So why did his mother say, "Hey, Jesus, they don't have any wine"? What did she expect anyway? What did the disciples now have an opportunity to do when Jesus disappeared?
They showed their faith in Jesus.
They shared their faith in Jesus. They told of the things he did and how much they were influenced, how much for the better. Ah, yes, respectfulness. You know, the King James Bible says, when Mary asked, told Jesus, "They have no wine," he says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Now that sounds pretty cold to our culture, but that was courteous speaking in the times in which he lived, and we should always be courteous in the time in which we live, using the words that indicate that that respect. See you next week. Thank you, Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And we are going to continue with the review of respectfulness. And we're going to have a little stories that we can be able to enjoy by God's grace. So it's time for Tiny Thoughts on Parents to Learn Precious Lesson in Nature and the Gems that Lies Beneath in God's Creation. So let's have our listening ears here once, for dear brother Josh will be the one to share a review from the Water of Life, part 22. And this will close our chapter about the marriage. So you will have an opportunity, dear ones, to review all the different areas of this chapter. We have 1 to 6. You can always go back in case you have any question, and you could share it among your family or even among your neighborhood or friends. By God's grace. And our dear brother will be the one to narrate.
Sad blessings, everyone. Here's today's final lesson concerning the marriage feast and the miracle of Jesus turning the water to wine. Research, first miracle. This began the miracles to Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. John 2:11. The attention of the company was now turned to the disciples. For the first time, they had the opportunity of acknowledging their faith in Jesus. They told what they had seen and heard at the Jordan, and there was kindled in many hearts the hope that God had raised up a deliverer for his people. The news of the miracle spread through all that region. It was carried to Jerusalem. With new interest, the priests and elders searched the prophecies pointed to Christ's coming. There was eager desire to learn the mission of this new teacher who appeared among the people in so unassuming a manner. The Desire of Ages, page 150. Once more, God gave the leaders of Israel an opportunity to understand and respect what the scriptures said about the work of Christ. And the Messiah says to review the whole lesson, the whole story of Jesus at a wedding. And from part 1, invited, part 2, respectful, part 3, six water pots, 4, pure grape juice, 5, new wine, and 6, the first miracle. And this little passage tells about how respect it is all about. concerned in a small tale about people who learn how to use respect the proper way. When a When a stranger treats me with want of respect, said an elderly man, I comfort myself with the reflection that it is not myself that he slights, but my old and shabby hat and coat, which, to say the truth, have no particular claim to adoration. So if my hat and coat choose to fret about it, I let them, but it is nothing to me. And here's another passage. It teaches about respect, but it refers to parents. Okay. Do you respect and honor your mother as Jesus did his, or father, or any other members of your family? Well, here. Mm-hmm. Well, this person, this story, you're going to do that. Come, my boy, and you, my girl, what answer can you give to this question? Who was it that watched over you when you were a helpless baby? Who nursed you and hugged you and never knew and never grew weary in her love? Who kept you from the cold by night and the heat by day? Who guarded you in health and comforted you when you were sick? Who was it that wept when the fever made your skin feel hot and your pulse beat quick and hard? Who hung over your little bed when you had a fever and put the cooling drink into your parched lips? Who sang the pretty hymns to please you as you lay or knelt by the side of the bed in prayer? Who was glad when you began to get well? And who carried you into the fresh air to help your recovery? Who taught you how to pray and gently helped you learn to read? Who has borne with your faults and been kind and patient in your childish ways? Who loves you still and works and prays for you every day you live? Is it not your mother, your own dear mother? Now then, let me ask you, are you respectful to your mother? There are many ways in which children show whether they are respectful or not. Do you always obey her and try to please her? When she speaks, are you ready to listen to her voice? Or do you neglect what she wishes you to do? Do you love to make her heart feel glad? This next little passage is about power and how water makes the electricity. It says, while water makes power, Jesus is the water of life. He gives us power to overcome temptation. And as demonstrated in these pictures of a transformer, or more light, and a waterfall. And this little chart and diagram shows all, how water makes the electricity. And Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And it's poured through the dams, like the one in this picture in the bottom left. And on the right shows a diagram of how water makes the electricity. Over there is the water flow, and the bottom is the whole reservoir, which could be a huge lake. On the front is the dam, and there's a little pipe where the water flows in toward the generator. In the power plant, the turbine and generator both spin around as the water pushes them, and that powers the electricity through that transformer or through an electric a tower. Beyond that is the head. And that's where the water flows after it passes the turbine. And that's how water makes electricity. And I'll give it back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And just as Jesus is our reservoir, where we get the water of life, he will send us power from on high as well, that we may be able to overcome. I remember, little one, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Our opening hymn for our theme is entitled Near the Cross, also found is in 3:12. If anyone of the dear family would like to join us to sing the hymn, you may unmute your mic to do so. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Dear, a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, brings its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen.
Near the cross, I watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, rest beyond the river. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear ones. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our review section of our family meeting, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Thank you, God, for making us up for this morning. And please protect the word that we're about to learn. And please protect the all the people that's here for this Sabbath. And please protect all the people that's not here for this Sabbath. And they feel good and better. And please protect the people that doesn't have a home to be fine for this Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages, CD, Volume 3. The scripture is Psalms 50, verse 14 and 15 from the King James Version.
Offer unto God thanksgiving.
So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones, before we hear your question, your comment, or anything you would like to share with your remnant family? We are going to reread part one of our lesson entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part five, in our study book, The Desire of All Ages. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Blessed Sabbath. We're reading from Desire of Ages, page 706. Jesus held his peace. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7. And on the side, it says, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Desire of Ages, page 706, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 706. At last, Caiaphas, raising his right hand toward heaven, addressed Jesus in the form of a solemn oath, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Desire of Ages, page 706, paragraph 3.
Continuing the reading, The Desire of Ages, page 706. To this appeal, Christ could not remain silent. There was a time to be silent and a time to speak. He had not spoken until directly questioned. He knew that to answer now would make his death certain, but the appeal was made by the highest acknowledged authority of the nation and in the name of the Most High. Christ would not fail to show proper respect for the law. And continuing on the next slide, please. Continuing. More than this, his own relation to the Father was called into question. He must plainly declare his character and mission. Jesus had said to his disciples, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew chapter 10 verse 32. Now by his own example, he repeated the lesson. This paragraph was taken from Desire of Ages, page 706, paragraph 4. And on the slide, it repeats Matthew chapter 10, 32, King James Version. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before him, before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 707. Every ear was bent to listen, and every eye was fixed on his face as he answered, "Thou hast said." A heavenly light seemed to illuminate his pale countenance as he added, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." Desire of Ages, page 707, paragraph 1.
Continue. For a moment, the divinity of Christ flashed through his guise of humanity. The high priest quailed before the penetrating eyes of the Savior. That look seemed to read his hidden thoughts and burn into his heart. Never in afterlife did he forget that searching glance of the persecuted Son of God. Desire of Ages, page 707, paragraph 2.
Continuing, "Hereafter," said Jesus, "shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." In these words, Christ presented the reverse of the scene that taken place. He, the Lord of life and glory, would be seated at God's right hand. And on the slide, you see a picture, and it says the judgment seat of Christ. And continuing on the next slide, please. In continuing, he would be the judge of all the earth, and from his decision, there could be no appeal. Then every secret thing would be set in the light of God's countenance, and judgment be passed upon every man according to his deeds. The Desire of Ages, page 707, paragraph 3. And on the slide, it says, the judgment seat for Christ. Also takes a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And also it takes a verse from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. The Desire of Ages, page 708. The words of Christ started the high priest. The thought that there was to be a resurrection of the dead, when all would stand at the bar of God to be rewarded according to their works, was a thought of terror to Caiaphas. He did not wish to believe that in the future he would receive sentence according to his work. Next slide, please. Continuing, there rushed before his mind as a panorama the scenes of the final judgment. For a moment he saw the fearful spectacle of the graves giving up their dead, with the secrets he had hoped were forever hidden. For a moment he felt as if standing before the eternal judge, whose eye, which sees all things, was reading his soul, bringing to light mysteries supposed to be hidden with the dead. Isaiah 7:8-1.
Amen. So let us consider this verse for a new section taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, King James Version. For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones? Now we are going to answer the 6 questions that we reserved from last Sabbath. And for those that are not able to see this screen, or are they in other devices? I'll read it out just in case if you are moved to participate by God's grace. Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are just joining us. These are the reserved questions. Number 1, who is the main character or characters of our lesson? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to this story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have the ability to type it in the room, if it's not, you can be able to use your mic to share. Who would like to be able to answer the first question, dear one?
The answer to number 1 is, who is the main character? Christ.
The Sanhedrin.
The Sanhedrin.
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees. And
the disciples.
Disciples.
Caiaphas.
Caiaphas.
The answer to question number 2, what is the main idea for the section of the story, is Christ telling Caiaphas and the court about his future.
The story took, number 3, where did the story take place? The story, this section of the story, takes place in the courts of Caiaphas. Number 4, when did the story begin? The section of the story began when Jesus was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and was taken in for trial. Before in the courts of Annas and Caiaphas.
How, my answer to question number 5, how could you relate to the story? I can relate that Jesus knew when it was time for him to speak, and he remained silent until the Caiaphas kept telling in all the lies, is that he was confirming that, and that would be true. And then Christ told him about the future of him saying on the right hand of God and come in the clouds of heaven, which probably was a threat in Caiaphas' heart.
And I would like to share in this section as well. So the scripture that states, study thyself to show thyself approved unto God, it's coming to my mind when I'm observing these scenes and how the Lord is quiet only until a specific time when he answered, and that was to answer about the question about his authority and his father. And that's the time that he found it necessary to speak. And taken from that is that if in a similar situation, then we need to just hold our peace, I'm learning that, until our fate, our principles of our fate is questioned. And then in those moments, then it's okay to speak.
Is there anyone that would like to share or just to elaborate on number 6? It is a beautiful thing that we have such a perfect example, because we don't know in the future we might be able to be called before official, even in the court, that we must be able to declare our faith. And it's amazing to be able to see that the Lord did, especially when he had to glorify his father, and not to be able to bring any kind of confusion on what was the purpose of his mission. There is a post also about the elder. It says, amen. Those who confess Jesus will have their name confessed before God. Indeed. If anyone would like to continue on to share, you can be able to by unmuting your mic. We are going to continue in our study, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to share our thoughts, and this one is taken from the Desire of Ages as well. The title is The Last Journey from Galilee, in chapter 53 from our study book. If any one of the dear brethren would like to be able to share a portion of it, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everyone. Chapter 53. With a great show of prudence, the rabbi had warned the people against receiving the new doctrine taught by the new teacher. For his theory and practice were contrary to the teaching of the fathers. The people gave credence to what the priests and the Pharisees taught in place of seeking to understand the word of God for themselves. They honored the priests and ruler instead of honoring God, and reject the truth that they might keep their own tradition. Many had been impressed and almost persuaded, but they did not act upon their conviction and were not renowned on the side of Christ. Okay, continuing. Satan presents his temptation until the light appears as darkness. Thus many reject the truth that would have proved the saving of their soul. Desire of Ages 489 paragraph 4.
Continue.
The true witness says beyond stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. Everyone reproved and entreated in the word of God at heart is messenger is at knock at the door of the heart and is the voice of Jesus asking for entrance. With every knock unheeded, the disposition to open becomes weaker and the impressions of the Holy Spirit, if disregarded today, will not be as strong tomorrow. Wow. Amen.
Amen. Who would like to continue the reading, dear ones?
The heart becomes less impregnable and lapses into a perilous unconsciousness of the shortness of life and of the great eternity beyond. Our condemnation in the judgment will not result from the fact that we have been in error, but from the fact that we have neglected heaven set opportunities for learning what is true. Desire of Ages 489:5. The scenes of the past and the future were presented to the mind of Jesus. He beheld Lucifer as he was first cast out from the heavenly places. He looked forward to the scenes of his own agony, when before all the worlds, the character of the deceiver would be unveiled. He heard the cry, "It is finished," John 19:30, announcing that the redemption of the lost race was forever made certain, that heaven was made eternally secure against the accusations, the deceptions, the pretensions that Satan would mitigate. Desire of Ages 492.
And the last paragraph I will take by God's grace. Beyond the cross of Calvary, with his agony and shame, Jesus looked forward to the great final day, when the prince of the power of the air will meet his destruction in the earth so long marred by his rebellion. Jesus beheld the work of evil forever ended, and the peace of God filling heaven and earth. The Desire Ages, page 490, paragraph 3. I would like to be able to just touch upon this. While I was doing this five part of Jesus' trial, it's highlighted so beautifully what kept him so peaceful. It is also something that I hope and pray that I will never forget. The more his thought was in heavenly things, the more he concentrated on what it was that was written, the peace that he was actually experiencing was in the safety of his Father's promises. And I pray to God that in any circumstances that we may face in the future or even in our daily life, by keeping our minds in heaven, we also have an opportunity not to use our natural nature, which is our flesh, that is completely contrary to everything that is written in the Word of God. And the enemy will take advantage of that. And I can definitely relate to it. Sometimes when you are not in a place that you're supposed to really be, this is the time that we're supposed to gear up because we are in forbidden ground. So I pray by God's grace that these lessons will come back to my remembrance through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the time that we are living, especially wherever we go to different places to share the message, sometimes you might not be speaking. Sometimes your life is the epistle that they need to see, that what they think is impossible is possible through Christ Jesus. And I just wanted to share that after this thought. And a poem as well is called Our Daily Bread. Hope for you. God is true. July 2022, page 11. It's called Hope for Help. If anyone would like to take one of the verses, may you please, by God's grace.
Number one, close beside us stands the tempter, and his voice comes low and sweet. All these treasures will I give thee, only worship at my feet. And our heart, so weak and wayward, long to prove what he has said. Father in our danger, give us then our daily bread.
In the day when ruthless sorrow kills all joy within the heart, when bright hopes that we have cherished slowly from our life depart, when the storm cloud o'er us lowers and our hearts sink low through the dread, Father, in this hour of trouble, give us now our daily bread.
When the sunshine brightens round us, all our friends seem warm and true. And the future with caresses woos us as we still pursue. Father, let your joys and gladness still from heavenly founts be fed. In the hour of joy's sweet trial, give our souls their daily bread.
In the day when ruthless sorrow kills all joy within the heart, when bright hopes that we have cherished slowly from our life depart, when the storm cloud over us lowers and our hearts sink low through dread, Father, in this hour of trouble, give us now our daily bread.
At all times and in all places, under bright or clouded skies, framed in words of Christ's own choosing, does this same petition rise? May both we and all thy children ever by thy hand be led. Father, in thy love and pity, give us all our daily bread.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that poem was from Francis E. Gordon. It was so beautiful that I was touched to be able to share it with everyone. Dear one, if you have a testimony, you would like to share it at this moment. And I thank Elder Rob. Before, I thought I only had 30 minutes to do the children's story, but I realized I had a little bit of time. Thank you so much, dear brother, for doing that for me. And if anyone would like to share a testimony, you can be able to do so. Well, dear ones, next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 6 of this amazing lesson before Annas and Court of Caiaphas in our study book, The Desired Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to close our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mind to do so, dear one.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. I want to thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day in my neck of the woods, Father. I pray the same for all of us. Thank you, Father Jesus, for all the lessons that we are learning and all the examples that we are able to look at in details, Father Jesus, and even so more details. We thank you for all the children that are participating and also their parents. Father, bless us this day continuously. Be with us now as we go into the second part of the lessons. Continue to bless us. Continue to be with us. Bless the speaker. Father, guide us and protect us, and that everything that we do and say may be to your honor and glory in this day. In all the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I would like to thank the Lord that as I was praying, asking him to send all of the workers away while we was able to present it, by God's grace, he did. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. And they were using very heavy equipment, so there's no way we would have been drowned by all of that noise. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, will be lesson 369, chapter 75, before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part 6, and that will be held November 12, 2022. Leaving this beautiful scripture and also quotation, 1 Corinthians 12:10. King James, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And from our Children's Youth Study Book, 363, paragraph 4, we are to take up the burdens that God appoints, bearing them for his sake, and ever going to him for rest. Whatever our work, God is honored by wholehearted, cheerful service. He is pleased when we take up our duties with gratitude, rejoicing that we are accounted worthy to be co-laborers with him. May you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.